Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for May 6th, 2024. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is episode number 428. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today I've arranged for Sonny Harris of moneymentor.com to join us again, as well as Norman Hallett of thedisciplinetrader.com. And Michael Filguera of Logical Signals is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you, David. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone who has joined us today, depending on where you live in the world. I am here with two friends, actually three, but David David sits and gets to listen to us. But I'm here with two really nice, good friends that I've made over the years, primarily through doing shows like this. Mm-hmm. And so that is Sonny Harris and Norman Hallett. And so we're going to begin as we normally do, and that would be, and ladies first, we're going to start with you, Sonny, to just give us a brief intro about yourself.
Well, I'm Sonny Harris. I'm a mathematician, a programmer, and a trader. Trader is my most fun. And I have a website, moneymentor.com. I do a weekly newsletter called The Sunny Side of the Street. And I do a daily live trading room. If anybody's interested in joining, then you can text me. My phone is 760-908-3070. You can text me SSS, Sunny Side of the Street, and I'll send it.
Thank you. And Norm.
And there's Norm on the sunny side of the streets.
There you go.
That's right. My name is Norman Hallett, and I also, I can't call myself a mathematician, but I did graduate with a math degree, but by excuse only, as I was actually studying to be an engineer. And I didn't like it. Didn't like the people sitting next to me in college. So I decided that I would just kind of get out, and the quickest way out was all my math credits. So I have an inferior degree to Sonny, but I do spout about it because I think, you know, having a basic knowledge of math is important, of course, when you're doing technical work. Mm-hmm. I've concentrated a lot of my career on the mental and emotional issues of trading, which is the real issue stopping most traders. But most recently, I have focused on the crazy world of prop trading, which mm-hmm. is becoming more and more of a reality as more and more firms open that capability to traders. But there are issues, and that's what I'll be discussing in an upcoming appearance on Wednesday. But or is it not Thursday? I'll be speaking on Thursday at 11 o'clock. We'll talk more about that later. Michael will have more information for you.
Thank you. And again, I'm Michael Filguera, LogicalSignals.com, and also TradersHoppingTraders.com. And the newest member to my family is Logical Signals Trading. And more on that at much later. And I started trading as an options market maker. But to go one step back, I am a graduate of a conservatory of music. Ooh. So it took me a while to try to get a hold of what the connection between studying music and studying markets and math project, so to speak, what was their connection? And it was a good friend of mine that actually showed it to me once I got down on the Pacific Exchange, and he actually taught me options trading, and he taught me, when you analyze music, what does it break down to? And I said, numbers. He said, aha, see, connection. And that's how it all began. So I have been a market maker since 1979. I've traded here, London, Amsterdam, in Germany while living in Amsterdam, and then came back to the United States in 2013. I decided that I didn't like the overnight volatility and the markets were changing more than I wanted. And so I decided to become a day trader, and I ventured down that for till now. And I started to do these types of programs with David in 2014. And so happy 10 years, David. And so, I think he did one show and then I was on the next show. And I don't remember the connection, but I just remember how much fun it was. And so through...
Yeah, it's been a great 10 years.
It has been a great 10 years. And so from all of that, I'm now making additional adjustments due to the fact of what now has entered into the trading realm of in terms of what affects our markets and how do the, why do the markets move the way they do? And is Elliott Wave really all that applicable now, which it still is, but what adjustments need to be made to that? Where are we seeing what controls our market now? And that's some of the things that I'm going to want to talk about today. But let's just kind of go same order, Sunny, then Norman, and then myself. Let's start the way this show normally starts. And that is that we're going to take a look at the S&P. We're going to do it via the ES. And actually, what the first question normally is, higher or lower by Friday? So again, today, the market over here, right to it, this might be the Globex. So maybe it's our 51.6675 was the opening for the ES today. And so based on that, we want to take a guess or a thought on higher or lower and possibly what might be behind.
I think we're going higher because we are now above the DMA, the dynamic moving average in my sunny bands. And the way we're sitting above that makes me think we're definitely going to go on up to the lower inner band at 52.27 and then to the upper band at 52.84. I don't think we'll make that by Friday, but I do think we're heading in that direction.
You never know anymore.
Never know.
You never know. Okay, so higher and with some upside levels. Thank you. Norman.
You'll never know just how much I love you.
I was waiting for that.
As you are, you led me on there. You know, you're going to do that to me, Sonny, every time. It's interesting that you draw these lines because my comment is that I do believe it's going higher. But for me, I'm going to need to wait until the end of the day. I'd like to finish strong today. You know, oftentimes as you know, traders with experience always have the feeling, and I think it's true for the most part, that Monday can lead you, can kind of give you a odds on direction for the week. Mm-hmm. And we have now I can see by your channels here that breaking through that upper line to the next level is important. So you're kind of on the same path as I am. I see 5,300 as the target, that accumulation right by, between the four and the B on your chart, just all that accumulation. It's just a lot of interest at that level. Looks like it's going to be tested. So I would say that we're moving higher. But the pace of that depends on today's action. I think if we stall today, we're going to creep up. If we can break that that upper line, which would do the same thing to my analysis in a different way, I think we go higher a little bit faster. But 5,300 is going to be an area where it's going to be some resistance.
Right. Okay. that's too higher. I think we're going to have the trifecta here today. Unfortunately, I am not going to go against what the two other guests have already said. I also suggest and believe higher. Now, I thought we could drift higher initially. And then the wave pattern that we're in right now, I believe that starting off of this being a low of a minor fourth wave, we're in a minor fifth wave up, and that completes another very long term. And long term in terms of that this particular move up began in October of 2022. And a lot of people want to associate it to October of 23. It's like that was just part of it. So here we are. We're in the finishing stages. The market's definitely now made it clear because for a while, I ran on a premise and I had two Elliott counts side by side, one suggesting that this high at 53.33 basis the future was it. That was the top. That was all we get. And now we were starting into a longer term, at least a year or more, of a downtrend. Mm. But I always left open the possibility. It's like, well, that could just be wave three and this is going to be wave four. And then we still have a fifth wave. But I needed the market to tell me. Because those of us that traded, these were pretty severe little downturns. And they had the reasons behind it, and everything flowed through. And then they just came back and went, nah, not really. We're going to go over here. So there's all different reasons. There's all different causes that pull our market in both directions. And that's one of the changes that I've noticed within it. But getting back to the actual question, I think that what we're coming up is just a small, an A wave within this third wave. It is all going to be threes. So what this channel line is will develop into a channel line, but for a diagonal triangle, which will put in that minor fifth wave. So therefore, all of the moves will be three waves. all of them. The one, the two, the three, the four, and the five will all be three waves. But being that it's likely going to turn into an expanding, which means that this trend line will kind of start to show, and the triangle itself is getting bigger rather than wedging. The wedge is like here and expands. And that's what I think is going to be happening. And under that, the A and the C wave of all of these have to be five waves. And that's kind of how it's starting. And now I'm seeing it again here in the third. So we can start here, go 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, and a 4 and a 5. Finishes the small A. We get a pullback, maybe back down to here, maybe a little bit lower. And then we run again. Now, I think that one can definitively happen by Friday. And so therefore, I have upside targets for wave three that definitively take us above 5280 and then possibly above 5300, because my next fib, which goes along with a third wave, comes in at 5344. So if we do it here, that's just a marker that says that this wave would be equal to that wave, which I know it's like not going to work, because third waves are normally the longest and the strongest, regardless, even if it's within a triangle pattern. I still would expect it, because it's expanding, to outdo this one. So I've been looking for it to get above here and do it by Friday for sure.
Michael, I'm going to force you kind of into a trading tip right now. It's one that I can't seem to answer for people. And I'm not sure. Well, I think I have my own answers, but I'd like to hear it from you. Elliott can be it starts out as a general analysis, kind of like an undertow or a wave. Of course, it's Elliott wave, but it's kind of like a motion that you want to take account of and take advantage of. But in the general sense that you believe that we're going to start moving higher, how does a day trader benefit from that? I mean, is it as simple as favoring or giving more, taking on more positions when you see a long trade, if that's the view of Elliott? How does a day trader utilize what you're telling us about Elliott?
Well, the beauty of Elliott is that it's applicable on a 1 minute, a 2 minute, a 5 minute, a 3 minute, a 15 minute, a 30 minute, et cetera. This one, we're looking at a 4 hour chart simply because we're trying to look at the balance of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I trade off are 1 minute screen. My trade is a 1 minute screen. I'm referencing the 2, the 5, and the 15 along with that same chart. Mm-hmm. So, and it's on a 34 inch curved screen, so it's like plenty of room. But
Elliott waves are fractal.
And Elliott wave does what?
They're fractal, so they work in any of those time frames.
That's correct. Elliott will show the pattern, the same pattern, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to a 30-second chart. You're still going to get them. It's just that the picture can change every 30 seconds or every minute, because once you complete five up, you're looking for three down, and then you're looking for another five up. So it'll go a lot faster. We're here on the four-hour chart. You know, one bar is 4 hours. So it looks like super tiny, but I can come over here, put up a 2 minute chart, go like that, and go like, wow, look at that. That was tradable. Wow, look at that. That was tradable. And so what I'm talking about, Norman, is like, how do I trade it? You get a signal, and that signal came in actually right there, because you know how to read, you're reading candlestick. And so you just wrote it. You wrote it up. And then I was like, oh, once it broke here, I was like, okay, I'm going to sell it, or I'm going to get out of my trade. And then I'm going to reverse. And now you're just playing it to the downside. The market is a little bit lunatic right now. So I think that as a day trader, it becomes really difficult. And so you really kind of have to pick and choose how you want to go about this. Now, bringing this down to an hourly chart, it makes it a little bit clearer, right? So here I am on my wave three. It'll consist of an A, B, C, and the first in the A and the C are going to be five waves. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1. Of this A wave, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of three. Then I'm going to get another 4, and then I'm going to get a 5, and then I can put A of 3. So the minute degree gets an A, and then it comes down again, maybe back to here, and it rolls again to the ups. Now, what's behind all of that? Well, lately, there's all kinds of things. Like right now, what continues to just dominate the market, of course, is like, what do we got left in terms of earnings? All we have is really NVIDIA out of the Mag 7. So out of our big, big daddy stocks, that's what's left. Everybody else is reported. And now they're trying to determine, gee, we thought Apple's earnings were good. Why is Apple down $2.24? It's like, well, there's a whole other bunch of reasons. So
because Warren Buffett just sold all his?
I'm not sure that I've heard that part.
His Apple?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They trimmed. They trimmed their
they Apple. They trimmed, right. Not all, but it's
so, you know, which, you know, if you go by the school, it's like, well, I tell you, if Warren's getting out, so am I. And I, you know, that whatever motivates everybody. Now, I think that there are so many additional factors. In fact, Sunny invited me on her Saturday show, and so I went. And it's there are a whole nother set of factors that are actually coming in and doing the work in our market. Now, one thing that I find that has taken over as an ex-market maker, right, an ex-options market maker, options were always considered the derivative. Now you have to think about, are they really the derivative or are they the underlying?
Mm.
And the stock or the ETF or the index becomes the derivative. Because what I'm seeing are these massive option flows and then everything that goes along with it. And how we now have got all these new products which are attached to volatility. In the past, I've never really seen the dispersion trade used as much as I see it being used now. And what I mean by the dispersion trade is like we have the VIX right here. And what we have there is that this is the fear gauge, right? That's what we all know, the fear gauge. If it's going up, people are afraid that the market is going to start to fall apart. Or things are going to happen. Well, if it's going down, then the term is like, well, we're becoming complacent. It's just going to go up, 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 and up. So there's no reason to add premium to options, which I think is a bunch of nonsense because we do it anyway. But what happens is the big player, they sell the VIX and they take that money and they invest it in the underlying volatility. So they buy the volatility in the underlying. For example, Apple, when they're selling the VIX and they come back in and they're buying call in Apple, that's the volatility. In an option, volatility equates to how much premium sits in that. Well, if you're the retail or you're an ETF, you know, money manager, you're going to come in and you're going to buy calls. You're buying calls in Meta. You're buying calls wherever you're buying them. And I am the market maker. I am the dealer. And I'm selling them to you. Well, what do? I have to turn around and hedge that and I buy the stock. So again, is it a self-fulfilling prophecy? Yeah, basically. You know, oh, the stock's going up. See, I told you, that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're selling this volatility. It's like, you're making this. So what's an illusion? What's not? Now, the other thing that I have also found is just all of the different instruments that have gained extreme popularity on an institutional. And some of them are this one, which is, nope, that's JEPI. It's Title TR Defiance S&P 500 Advance. It has to do with the option. And I did figure it out, but it is so, what you might want to say convoluted, but it is really put together. And then there's the IWMY, which is the same thing, but for the Russell 2000. Well, I have to tell you, this one, and the Russell 2000 has got about 153 million, where this one might be over several billion. That's a lot of money, and that's institutional money. So the real name of the game here, folks, is that it isn't that we're really basing and stuff on opinion. It's where are the flows going? Where's the money moving? And that's what I try to hone in on. And that, believe it or not, on an Elliott basis works really well because Elliott is not a measurement of anything technical or fundamental. It's a measurement of human emotional reactions to what's going on. So what do we know? Basically, in the market, we got two emotions, right? Fear and greed. So that's kind of my spiel. And I think we go higher. Now, what's affecting the market? I'll tell you what. You check the SPX, right? And we are 59. Well, at 5,200 is what they would call a call wall. Just think of a wall. And it's made out of brick, except this one's made out of calls and they're all short. And they're not going to let you get through that, so it's resistant. You smack it once and you don't. But if they can punch a hole through that, it's going to look similar to the put wall that got broken on April the 19th. Those of us that were watching that, they punched until they got through it. And then suddenly it was like an earthen dam, right? It starts to leak and then suddenly a big chunk of that dirt falls out and a rush comes out. And that's what happens when you break a put wall or a call wall. That rush comes out because there's a whole lot of traders that have to make adjustments to their position. And then we get that In terms of at 5,200, if they manage to punch through that call wall and break it, watch for a very quick pop to 5,250 or higher. And that's SPX. You got to add your premium into it to get it here in this market. But what I'd like to do as well, because both Norman and I discussed gold, and the first thing I want is I'm going to stop and I'm going to go back around. So, Sonny, I'm going to stop my share. If you can please put up yours so we can look at the Sonny bands as they relate to our friend gold. Gold is very attractive, becoming more attractive. A lot of people are wondering, should I be in? This is up so high. How high could it go? Now, which is beautiful, and you're on your daily. That's even more perfect. So let's get Sunny's look at what she does. And she uses Sunny Band, which are spectacular, the way.
Sunny Bands are the green and teal lines on the outside, making a channel. And the purple and gold line in the center is my dynamic moving average. That's the claim to fame right there, because the math in this gets out of the way in certain kinds of behavior and goes closer together in others. And it basically eliminates whipsaw. You'll see with other moving averages, they go back and forth over each other. And this eliminates the whipsaw. So the channels tell me where price is going. And basically, when it comes up and touches this upper band and then turns around into the inner band, upper inner band, that's a short sign to me. So I wait for price to confirm it, and then I go short. So I've been in a short signal since right there, which is the 16th of April, short. And then we come down here, and now we've got another signal to buy. So it didn't come all the way down to the lower outer band. It stopped at the lower inner, which is a sign that it wants to go back up. I think gold's going to 2,500.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Birds of a feather.
Good.
We flock together.
We do.
Norman, do you have an opinion on gold?
Yeah, I like it. Can I share my screen on this?
And absolutely.
Because it's something that, you know, I grew up and we were talking about earlier, and something that... let's see if I can share it here. Here's my gold. Is that the daily? That's the 5 minute. Let's get the daily. Somebody will, one of these days, will have to tell me how to get rid of that. I haven't figured it out on Ninja Trading yet, the mistakes. But I wanted to show you kind of why I'm looking at, you know, I look at the Sunny bands and I'm not sure I'm in the elementary school of Sunny bands. Because this right here is the 34 EMA. Yeah, and to me, I use it as what I call a guardrail or a backstop. It really depends on which side the 8 EMA is on. To me, this is the golden average. You can see how well it rides while it's riding. But I think everybody knows about the 8. Some will argue with me about the 9, but I like the 8. And when I see this formation right here, these two candles in comparison, and maybe these two in comparison also. When these moving averages are close like this, you have the 34 at your back, you can look for expansion on the upside until such time in the trading plan, in the basic trading plan that I've designed for Loaded Gun. I'm waiting for two closes, consecutive closes below the 8 to signal putting on one of several exit strategies. And you can see how, although it played with that here and actually broke it here, this is actually a shorting type of a signal, same way, small body, big candle through the 8. But I want confirmation. I didn't get it here. Here's a similar one to go short. Mm-hmm. The problem with going short against the guardrail, which is now a barrier since I'm trying to get through it, I won't short this unless I believe I can get a scalp between where I get in, which is the close of this bar, and this guardrail of 34. And here, there's enough to possibly make a short trade. And if you did, it would have been better for it. But these are the two candles that I'm really looking at right now. Mm-hmm. If we can, I keep mentioning, if we can close strongly today, and I was looking at Sunny's charts, and actually yours also shows this same kind of formation, what I call a hesitation candle, followed by a breakthrough candle through the 8, And if it does it with in a convincing style, you've got a pretty good chance, a very good chance of testing the high. Mm-hmm. A pass there. And I do want to mention something about the so in conclusion, I'm looking for a strong close here in order to make me favor the long side on position sizing during the week when I'm trading in shorter. But I do want to say something about, you mentioned something about when you get to a wall and breakthrough. I just want to mention to traders that I think one of the biggest problems with most traders is they're praying for that wall, the wall to be broken. In fact, that's what they're doing. And with any movement almost at all above the wall intraday, or intercandle, whatever time frame you're choosing, is enough to put people in. The problem is you're going to hit a few stops of everybody who's got their buy stop above the wall, where it can many times come down and then take off for real. So I would caution people not to just buy in the initial breakout of a wall, and that usually what happens is the wall holds up, and that's why they call it a wall. Right. So your high probability in looking to go long and a long breakout is to actually look for shorting opportunities against the wall at your back. Those are the more higher probability trades. Not that you shouldn't look for the dream, but I think traders who are trading for the dream and not for the high probabilities are the ones that wind up having very little equity to deal with, you know.
In the end.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put up my gold chart and then we're going to move on. And actually, that one's going to be whichever one you guys think. I would like, if either one of you follow the dollar in, that's the other one that really gets out there and doesn't seem to get enough attention, but it certainly has a strong effect. So I thought about tossing that one in today. And then on that cusp are also treasury. So let me go over gold, because you guys probably didn't hear it that prior. I was, Norman and I were talking pre the start of this, and basically that I've been a gold bud since 1980. You know, pretty much one of the first things that I got interested in was gold, because when I started as a market maker in 1979, I was on a trading floor and I could look up and see that, oh my God, look what they're doing. And somebody else telling me, you know, that's just a squeeze. And I had no idea what the hell squeeze was, right? But then again, and I can go way back. Here we have, this goes all the way back to 1975. I go over there, it's like way too far. So 1975. So in essence, on an Elliott basis, you rarely, if ever, would even look at a gold future in terms of a cycle degree move. That would be the absolute top line that I would. But because there's so much that goes on inside. But things of note on an Elliott basis, it's, if we're looking at an equity or even a treasury market, it's the third wave that's going to subdivide, and it'll be the longest and the strongest most often. In a gold or silver or some of the metals, it is the fifth. Yeah. This was a fifth wave, and it just skyrocketed. And that's the other nature of a fifth wave. This one, yeah, it kind of went up, came down. Oh, went up. It was more normal. This was parabolic.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody who lived through that's what put me in this business for life.
Good point.
People buying options, call options for $10,000, and they had $160,000 2 days later, you know.
No, good call, because you're right. That's kind of I became a gold bug because I was watching that. And then we went through this very, very long period, years, over a decade of a correction. And that correction took us to August of 1999, just before they had finally gotten it all together in the euro. Now the euro has started. The European Central Bank is all happy and glad. There are no more independent currencies except in Great Britain and Switzerland. And so off and running we went. But prior to that, the central banks of Europe sold their gold reserves in favor of a fiat currency. Well, guess who's buying gold now? I think that was an obvious. Now, for me, I'm going to bring this down, and let's go to a two-year daily. And so, actually, a little bit more, show you what I'm talking about. This is a very, very complicated correction. And this is one of those cases where, you know, I stuck in the new little formula for the Tata, how we count corrections, because it's like a triple ABC. And so I just thought, you know what, you can take care of that just by calling it what they do now call them. a W X Y, and it's hidden there. Pull it up. A W X Y Z, and you'll notice it looks like a W. It looks like it is an X. It is a Y, and this is a Z. So if the pattern it fits. So one big four. So we're in a minor fifth wave up, which basically is to complete an intermediate fifth wave. But now you see we're inside this fifth wave, and we've subdivided not once, but and we're down a very small degree. We have the three and the four. I put that four in and started to get a little excited about stepping back in. So in other words, and I'll tell you one thing that I did do for this correction, I had an iron condor on, and I was my short side on the calls was above here, and my short side on the puts was below 2200. So I had a humongous window, and it all came into fruition right here. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up taking it off, and I'm glad, because it pretty much that was the low, and now we're back into building into our next phase to move higher. And if I go just about to my, I seem to rally around my 4 hour chart. So again, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, beautiful third, by the way, five ways all nicely on its own, plus all the little trimmings of an extended wave right there. And by the way, the extended wave was the fifth. Remember what I said? And it's the fifth wave that'll be the longest and the strongest. And it often will break into its own. And here enough, there's the sign. And that's within. So this is a minuet degree. So that's a pretty small degree. And then this would be a sub-minuet.
Remind me not to be your dance partner.
Yeah, I know, right? There you go. So, and then again, another more complex, but still basically A, B, and a little bit of a complex C wave down. Nonetheless, came in and basically held some support it needed to hold. I thought it could go a little bit further. It's chosen not to. And thank you, my friends that are joining me today, because they just are giving us additional confirmation via their systems that we likely have started onto this minuet fifth wave up. Now, if that's the case, I think new highs above this puppy are for certain. Now, my recollection of what happens here when it suddenly just jammed up there and then they sold it all the way off, it was because somebody, a trader got taken out. And from what I understood from the inside chatter, it was an Asian trader got blown out, got taken out. And then everybody else who filled those orders just kind of let it drop. And then
what does taken out mean? So he was heavily short, or he's heavily long or short and got squeezed out at the top?
I don't know on what side, with the way that it jammed higher, it just gapped higher suddenly, just bam. And I think what it was is that they were short. And so they had to, and they were over leveraged or whatever, and their clearing firm said, sorry, you're out. And they covered the trade because obviously he or they or whomever didn't have enough in their account. So they blew out. That's probably better. They blew out. And so then this was a very kind of a complex move, but here we are. Now, so I think wave five definitively goes above 2450. That's our high so far. Now I go back out, like, where do I start to find? That's some initial resistance, but that one is not going to stop this guy. So I have 25 of that, 96, 35, 97, 54. Now these are for that minor fifth. So I think not only do we get to 25, I think we get to 26 and I think 97 before this fifth wave. And so, and how I present this oftentimes, guys, is that this is a technical picture. Gold moves with other things in mind. Gold hate gold traders, but let's just say gold hates inflation. Hates inflation. Interest rates, please don't mess with the interest rates, because then it really affects the price. Why? Simply because the world premise is that gold does not pay you any dividends, no interest, et cetera, et cetera. Like it does, just gotta know how to pull it. So what we have though is we have the dollar end. This is very, very sensitive to the moves in the dollar end. So part of what really helped us get out of that hole or that down cycle we were in is the dollar right there, right? So again, here's the beauty if you know how to read candlesticks. That was like, okay, we come down, we come up, envelop. So there's all kinds of patterns that tell you should have been buyer, but the buy in was down here at 2304 or anywhere in between. If you wanted to wait for it to get above the 13, I use the 13 and the fib number, but you would have gotten in there and you're still basically writing. And what are we looking for? There's the 1, 2, 2, 2. If it is, it could be a series of 1, 2s. And what happens now is an explosion higher. What can affect gold? Well, we got enough geopolitical situations going on the globe and they'll go in that. Here's one better. Behind the scenes, we all know, or maybe you don't know, but currencies, global currencies are going to go digital. We won't have this paper we love to carry around in our pocket. Most of us are already digitally moving money around. We pay our bills digitally. We pay for services digitally. We transfer money. I'm not bragging or anything here, but like I have a gardener and I got housekeepers. And it's like, I just transfer the money to them. I don't even cut them a check. I just transfer the money. So that digitalized process, there are people out there that are trying to scare you about it because, well, the government will have control over your money. It's like, yeah, okay. But right now it is happening. Printing of money will go by the wayside and everything will go digital. And in advance of that, China, obviously, Russia, Pakistan, what are they doing?
India,
you're right. Thank you. They're bolstering their gold reserve. Why? Because, you know, we got a piece of paper. It's backed by the good faith and credit of your country or your government. Well, what's outside of that? And now I don't even have that piece of paper. What are you giving me? Well, we're backing it with gold. And so these individual countries, and then there's more, are building up their gold reserves. Could that go to 2078 or 3,000? It can. And guess what? Once it gets up there, they got to keep it up there, because if it's backing a currency and you want people to trade in your currency, then a lot's going to happen when gold weakens, which we know it will. So let me just say, I think it gets real, real interesting.
So let me ask, I'd like to ask Sunny a question if I could. Sunny, you know, the gold silver ratio is about 80. It's in the 80s now.
Yeah.
81. When I grew up, back when I was reading Harry Brown, everybody talked 50-1 is the relationship that you're looking for. Not sure that holds anymore. Maybe 60 is a better number now. But at 80, would one be preferred? Would you prefer to trade silver over gold, Sonny, or would you stick with the gold?
I'd stick with the gold. It has more industrial uses than silver does. I used to have bags and bags of silver dimes and quarters, you know, but they're heavy. You can't run very far with a bag of silver.
No, you can't.
Is that when you say heavy, do you mean like the 60s? It's heavy, baby? Or is it?
Yeah, that's no. Similar.
It was. Okay. It weighed a lot of pounds.
Yeah.
And my father was a numismatist, so I got into collecting gold in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll add to that conversation, Norman, that I have read that older silver traders, or older, you know, just traders in general, believe that the gold-silver ratio or silver-gold ratio should be 16-1.
Mm.
Now that takes us back to the days where governments, and particularly the U.S. government, said price of gold can't go above or below $35.
Yeah. I mean, that would put silver at $100 at today's prices.
Exactly.
But, you know, the thing is that I tend to look at the silver from what happened in 1980. Again, that's what's stamped in my mind.
Right.
You know, 50 against 850, which is right at that 17-1 level.
Yeah.
Even at those peaks, while the Hunt brothers were controlling everything.
Right.
But I always can't get out of my head. Make sure you, and there is a clarity in the gold, that in the silver chart, for an upside that I don't quite see in the gold chart is kind of from my read. So I'm going to be tending toward at least including what I'm doing on the long side of the metals with silver also.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I agree, Norman. I have heard actually that they're trying to get accepted 80 and not 60, 80, which would pump gold up, not pump gold, would pump silver even better. So, but that's what I hear. What actually comes out, we'll find out, right? But I am more bullish on gold than I am on silver. Although I think silver has its place even as a storehouse of value. If it ever got to that point and all we had left to barter with were bars of silver or bars of gold or even bars of copper,
I've been trading a lot of copper. You know, I haven't even said the P word, but I'm wondering how that metal is doing. Is it still as thin as it used to be?
It is thin as it used to be. And in fact, it's not. It's actually, I'm thinking platinum. I mean, it's up today, but I think platinum goes down.
That's the symbol for platinum.
PL. I think it goes down from here and back to down into here.
Oh, it's selling at that kind of discount to gold, selling at half a one third.
Yeah. I mean, but which it never did. But this is the daily. Wait till I pull this out. Look at this weekly. Look how long it's been going side with the down. Even if I'm just, let's just draw something.
He's just waiting for somebody to push the button.
But then it's like, even if I just it could be a big triangle for all I know. But if we just even connect anything, we are wedging a little bit. But I'm just putting in some basic. Look at that, wedging. So what do we do? Get smaller, 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 smaller. I do believe when it's done, it's going to explode up to the upside. But now I'm on a weekly chart. Now, what do we got? July, October, before the wedge is over? Very possible. But trust me, I think when this is time and it's going to play catch up, you won't be able to catch it.
Well, we used to take our compass and put the pin at the end of the accumulation, and then put the pencil at the beginning and then roll it up to give us a price target. And this kind of accumulation, you know, this.
Those are when we had really sophisticated tools.
I've ruined a lot of monitors like that. You know?
I'm sure you kept trying to stick that compass into the monitor.
Am I the only one that did that? You guys did it.
No, you're not. I've
never, you know, Robert Prechter gave us all when I was a student of Elliot, it was similar, you know, it like a compass, but it was like how you drew Fibonacci,
right.
You know, and did things of that nature. But I had one because it was included in this package that I purchased, but I couldn't, I don't have it. And I actually never really did use it. But you know what I'd like to try to do? Platinum is a jewelry. RK saying U.S. Indians are told not to buy platinum because of its radioactive nature. How about that? Some time ago, platinum jewelry used to be sold in India, and some tried to popularize it, but it failed to catch it. This is a trivia info. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Well, Sonny and I still have our slide rule, I think. I know I have my slide rule.
Well, listen. Here's the deal, guys. I'm not that far behind either one of you. Or Norman, I think I might even be ahead of you. On the 18th of May, I'm going to be 70.
Now, you got a few years to get to me.
Okay.
Years to get to me too, buddy.
They're just a few. And guess what? Here's the good part. I will always have just a few years to get to them. But I appreciate the value of your experience, and I appreciate the value of your ads to any conversation, because I think one of the things that kind of gets ignored sometimes, it's like, hey, folks, we've been around for a long time, and we notice what the changes are, and we see where these changes are, and we can formulate things around the changes and either accept them or watch them go by the wayside as just this new play toy. So it's not like we're going like, well, this is the way it used to be, and this is the way it is. We're making those adjustments as well. But that knowledge of what drove the market then is not all that totally different than what drives the market.
Absolutely.
And you know, the thing about you being a musician is the math and music are in the same place in your brain.
They are.
And so the other thing that's really important, I think, for a trader is to be able to spot patterns. You kind of blur your eyes and look at this thing, and you can see that wedge just as clear.
Now, I'm going to kind of give us 3 minutes, and then I'm going to give five back to David, because we do want to talk about this synergy event that all three of us are going to be participating. Mine, I am on tomorrow. Sonny, which day are you?
Wednesday.
And Norman, you, I think you said you're Thursday?
Yeah, I'm Thursday at 11 o'clock, I believe, in the morning.
Here we got all days are represented here. So again, I'll begin. I'm Michael Filiguera. I am the chief cook and bottle washer at LogicalSignals.com and TradersHelpingTraders.com. I do a daily update on YouTube for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100. Once a week, I do my big technical big picture update for both of those markets, cash and futures. I also have a trade room. that we operate each morning from 6 a.m. Pacific daylight to 8 a.m. And that's about as far as I'm going to go with all that because I got to get round up. And so, Sunny, just a quick close, and then we're going to turn it over to David to talk about the other.
All right. I'm going to be talking on Wednesday. What time is, Wednesday at 3 p.m. California. And I do a live trade room every morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time, membership only. And if you want to come to preview one, I can comp you in on a Wednesday. Send me TAWS, Trade Along with Sunny, on my cell phone, which is 760-908-3070. And I'll get that to you.
Thank you.
I'm going to be talking on Wednesday about trading fast markets with Sunny Bands and Ultimate F compounding, which I have not addressed.
Wow. Okay. Hey, Norman.
I'm still working on compound sentences.
There you go.
I'll just, anyway, I'm really on it every time. I smile on my face every time I'm on this show, any show with Sunny. And of course, David, he really inspires me about, not David, but you, Michael, inspires me from the standpoint of Elliot. You know, Sunny talks about taking a look at a chart and recognizing something right away. Well, when you start talking, I don't really recognize what you've recognized, but I do want to say one thing about Sunny and Michael and myself. We're all coming to a very similar conclusion so much of the time. And for traders, especially who are struggling out there and new, it's important to ask yourself the question first, what kind of trader am I? What kind of coach do I trust? Where do I, because there's a lot of different good ways to approach the market and get the same positive results. But it really is a matter of inspecting yourself first so that you can match yourself with a Sunny or with a Michael or with a Norman, so that it all comes to you more easily because it's your style. And I think that so self-inspection is the first step, and then go out and find yourself. So comes to events like this where you can see what kind of makes sense to you, what you kind of like, what inspires you, and then go with that. So I wanted to make sure my talk on Thursday is about my latest affliction. And that's prop trading. I'm going through the math of prop trading at 11 o'clock on Thursday to compare what it looks like math wise to trade somebody else's money and make 90% of it against trading your own money, and comparing some of the restrictions that you're given as a prop trader that may or may not be exciting to you and may or may not be why you should or shouldn't consider it. So I'll be going through the math on Thursday.
Excellent. In fact, Norman, let's save a date because I'd love to do a podcast on that subject. But I'm going to stop right now. David, I'm going to turn it back over to you because I want to give you as much time as you need. Please tell us about this wonderful event that you have organized.
All right. Yeah, we got a huge event planned for this week. Very excited about this. Been working, been spending a lot of time working on setting this up. So yeah, psychology, discipline, and time management will be the event for the next 3 days. I have 30 presentations scheduled starting each day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll be going till 8 p.m. Eastern time each night. And was able to get 8 first, new presenters, so new to timing research. So
that's exciting. That's
great. Always looking for new perspectives to join these events, and so that's exciting. And of course, a lot of my favorites like you three will be on as well. So
some of your best friends are traders, you said.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, please, Sonny, you're supposed to be judged by who you hang around with. Please, come on.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, yeah, like Michael, like you mentioned at the beginning, I've been doing this on timing research for, later this year will be 10 years.
Yeah.
Over 200, I need to get an exact count, but over 200 total educators have been on at least one timing research event. And, this is an excellent way for traders to get a lot of different perspectives on how to look at the markets, how to trade, how to and get more exposure on what everyone else is doing and what what's out there and what the possibilities are for trading the markets. So, yeah, I'll just mention again too. So Michael Filguera is scheduled for 1 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. And then Sunny is scheduled for 6 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. And Norman will be on at 11 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. And yeah, and you can just, to access the event, you can just go to timingresearch.com and there will be links on the main page to join the room. Also, if you are not able to join us live, all the recordings are, I record all the presentations individually, and those go directly onto timingresearch.com as soon as I can get them processed. Also, if you search for Timing Research on YouTube, Substack, or your favorite podcast app, you can find it there as well. So just want to thank you all again for a great show today. A lot of good insight on the markets again. And as with the big events, the weekly shows also go to the Timing Research YouTube and Substack and everything. So you can find it there. And yeah, I just want to thank you all again for today. So Sonny Harris of MoneyMentor.com. Norman Hallett of TheDisciplinedTrader.com and Michael Filguera of Logicals.
11 o'clock a.m.
and Sonny's alarm to close out the episode. So
are they using that on Alexa now, Sonny's voice? Hey, Sonny, what time is it? Right.
It's 2 p.m.
Oh, look at this.
There you go.
That was close enough to Siri, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, David. Thank you.
All right.
We end on a nice little laugh. Yes. And it's an exciting event, folks, coming up. Psychology is a huge part. And there's going to be like 90 different people. No, 24, 30 different people.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 presenters.
30 presenters.
Yeah. And it's
what an amazing feat. Amazing.
Yeah. It is. About a third of them are going to focus primarily on psychology. But then, you know, there's a bunch of them are going to talk too on the discipline side of trading, time management and risk management, right. And well, all those.
I'm going to speak about this. I'm going to be on the psychological side and I'm going to be talking about mindset.
Okay. Yeah.
Trader's mindset. So thank you again, David. This has been a blast. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.